sins and my sins, when we commit them, are ultimately committed against God. And so only He may take action to redeem. If only God can do these things, how can it be said that Jesus, the Son, could do them? You know the answer, don't you? Jesus, the Son, is God. Jesus, the Son, is the divine human incarnate deity. That ought to just overwhelm us to think about. Other people have gone through and claimed that they can make provision for your sins. Way too many of them. Or institute a system of rules and regulations that can take care of your sins. Way too many people have thought it proper to say, your sins are on my shoulders. And usually when they try to convince you of that, it involves giving them a pile of money. Jesus, the Son, is holy. Did you catch that in the text? Jesus, the Son, is holy. When Abraham first came at the bush, you remember what God said? Take off your shoes, for the place you're standing is holy ground. Where God is present, holiness exists. How can we say that Jesus is holy? Unless He is God incarnate. And Jesus is innocent. You know, you like to think that those little cherubs that you bring home from the hospital, those children that you love and you want to see grow up, you would like to see that they would remain innocent all of their lives, but they weren't even completely born innocent. And I know this is a shock to some of your systems. They were conceived in sin. And they were birthed into a world of sin. And they're not innocent. It really changes, by the way, your parental grid. So how can we say that Jesus is innocent? Not just pretty good, not just mostly innocent, but completely innocent. He's done no wrong at all. He's been untainted by the world and its sinfulness. He has walked through this world without being, as the next word says, stained by it. He is an unstained Savior. There's no spot or blemish with Him. He is absolute perfection. And we worship Him today as the only one, as the only one who can take your sins and mine and make them as if they never were. Amen. We'll have to work this up as a test sometime. and separated from sinners. It doesn't mean that he didn't associate with them, but he managed not to let the sinners dictate what he would become. You know, as you raise your children, sometime you're going to have to deal with the issue that bad morals corrupt good company. That's because people who are born into a sinful world just are like a magnet to it. And yet Jesus was able to walk through this world and remain separate from it. He ate dinner with them. He met women stained with sin at a well. He met up with all manner of people. So much so that he was accused of being a drunkard and a glutton and a... People tried to throw mud at him all the time. But he was able to walk through this world separate from sinners because he knew what he needed to do for sinners. And exalted above the heavens, this is our Jesus, who's not just ascending to a political place of power. He's not just ascending to a religious place of influence. He is ascending above the heavens. Who can ascend there? Who can be there? All of these things are things that only God may do. I can't do them. You can't do them. My goodness, what Jesus has done and who Jesus is. Doing these things as the Son, who does what only God may do. It is defeating to try to bring the Son to you in life. It is empowering and enabling to ask God to lift you up to be with the Son. We hold, brothers and sisters, those of you that are saved, those of you followers of Jesus Christ, those of you that have had your sins forgiven, who've been invited with confidence into the throne room of God, we have an exalted place too, because Jesus is our exalted Lord. And if it is only Jesus that can do this, that is, that only Jesus can take your sins and my sins and wash them away forever. It is only Jesus who is worthy of any worship, let alone all of our worship. This Son, who has done what only God may do, is made perfect forever. And this Son, who does what only God can do. Now, the first thing I tried to say was he did what only God may do. This is a little different, Because only Jesus had that responsibility. But on this side, he does what only God can do. You can't save yourselves. I hate to break that to you, but it's good news that you can't save yourself, because there's a Savior who can. He does what only God can do. And because of that, there is no need for the offering of daily sacrifices. This is what the world, when it devises a religious system, comes up with in some fashion or another. It is that there are going to be a version of sacrifices that need to be made, like learning the secret handshake so you can get into heaven, like following the institutes of an organization from the moment of your embrace of the organization, like facing a particular direction and kneeling several times a day, and you fill in the blanks for every other human-oriented religion. There's always a system of rules and regulations and sacrifices that have to be made on a regular, daily, usually, basis, because they want to take the responsibility from you for your own spiritual well-being. And they want to try to make you as an individual obedient to that person or group. Jesus has none of that, because he does what only God can do by making intercession by his blood. When he walks into that holy of holies in the heavenly place and he lays down that sacrifice once for all, Jesus paid it all. No need for the daily sacrifice when the Son does what only God can do. Only worship for the one who has offered himself once for all. We don't need to crucify Jesus over and over and over again. The sacrifice that he made was so awesome that it would pay for all your sins, not just in part, but the whole. What a marvelous thing. And not just for one, but for all who believe. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. What a wonderful thing to worship the Son, who does what only God may do, and he does what only God can do. And in saying that, we have taken the Son and we have advocated that he is God incarnate doing the work of the deity. And so we come to what for many people is a troubling verse. But it shouldn't be seen that way. It's a glorious verse. Where it ends this section in verse 28 by asserting that the Son has been made perfect forever. Now, what is the theological stumbling block that some might hold to that verse? That is that Jesus somehow or other grew into it. That's not how you understand this verse. Jesus has always been all of the divinity. When we say that he is the incarnate God in the flesh, the human divine merged together, he has always been that. He has never become more. He was never less. He has always simply been that. How do you understand then saying that he's been made perfect? Part of it comes down to the word. The being said that he's been made perfect would also be a good translation to say that he's been revealed as completed or finished. Let me try to go back to my 1936 Ford Cabriolet, if I might, for just a minute, and have you try to imagine this with me, understanding that my illustration is flawed. Because I don't care which 1936 Ford Cabriolet convertible that you might come across, beautiful as it might be, it's not perfect. It might be really good, but it's not perfect. But imagine, just for the sake of argument, that you had one and it was perfect. And you had it under a nice protective tarp. And sort of as the motion in slow movement, you would start to remove the tarp. And little by little, the perfect item under the tarp is revealed. You see, when we say that he's made perfect in our appreciation for who he is, not for any change in him. And so, he's revealed as complete or finished. He's revealed to our eyes as perfect. From the perspective of heaven, looking at it from the other side of it, there was never any question about this. He's just always been who he is. But when you're a human being trying to look at him and you see little bits and pieces and you see the revelation that's there, you start seeing the tarp removed. And you start seeing the beauty that's underneath it. Until finally, it's all taken away. And there he is in his perfect glory. So the Son can be said to be made perfect or finished or complete forever. If you were a person that was beset by trials and tribulations that were pretty significant, like many of us are, and at some point in life, like all of us are, wouldn't you like to know that the person you're putting your confidence in isn't messed up by all that stuff? Wouldn't you like to know that you had somebody who could handle it, who's been through it, but handled it? I know I would. That's why I watch my YouTube channels from time to time. Because I get projects that I don't have any idea what I'm doing. And then I go and I watch a few YouTube channels, and then I still don't really have any idea what I'm doing, but at least I'm a little farther down the road. And then I usually go try to put my hand to it, and sometimes I've been able to succeed that way. I could tell stories, but I won't bore you with them all. But almost every car repair that I've ever really attempted and done well is because of YouTube. Because I don't really know what I'm doing. But some of those people out there do. And thank goodness for them. And I don't really know, along with you, what we're doing spiritually. I know that might not be a good thing for a pastor to say, but it's true. We've got to have a Savior that knows what He's doing. We've got to have a Lord that's got this. I love listening to Gary pray time to time, because one of the things you keep saying is, Lord, you got this. Lord, you got this. That's a good admonition to say. Lord, you got this. Thank you for that. We have a Savior who can make sure that your sins and mine are dealt with forever. He is made perfect, and He has been shown to be all that He is so that we can appreciate Him. And as these people needed to know in the midst of their struggles, so we need to know in the midst of our struggles that we have a Savior who's got this. And He doesn't just have it for a moment. Forever. Forever. There's a great word for you. I looked a few things up here that use the word forever in their titles. One of them is a clothing store, Forever 21. It's only 1 year at best. Forever? It doesn't work. Another company is called, I laughed at this one pretty hard, Forever Cheese. And I'm like, if you're going to buy Forever Cheese, aren't you eventually going to eat the cheese? And then what happens to it? It's not a good title. But here's my favorite. There was a TV series that was in, it was put on the air in the mid-2010s, simply called Forever. It lasted one season. And I just thought, how crazy is that? That you put a TV show out with the title Forever and it can't make it past 1 year. I'm sorry, I got a good chuckle over that. I don't know if any of you really appreciate what He's done. And so it's easy for us to sort of minimize the word forever because it's so out there that we can't really get a good grasp of it. I mean, I can imagine something for a really, 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 really long time. But forever? Forever? This is why the Scriptures tell us that our struggles, serious as they are, I'm not trying to minimize them in any way, what we go through. But why the Scriptures can tell us that they are light and momentary problems. Because even if they lasted with you for the entirety of your life, the Scriptures are clear that our lives are like a mist in the morning that quickly burns off. Our lives are like grass that springs up and then it's dried and it blows away. But our spirits are forever. Our spirits are forever. No, I can't conceive of it rightly either. But I can affirm that it's true. Because the scriptures tell us that we will live forever. Amen. And those who believe in Jesus Christ will live with Him forever. Amen. And those who reject Jesus Christ will live apart from Him forever. And that's going to be an awful thing for which we have a responsibility to share the gospel with the lost. But those of us who have believed, and these are the ones we're talking to this morning, because these are the ones who are reading Hebrews, going through the midst of the upheaval of their lives, need to know that the Son has been made perfect forever.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, good for you. Let me read you a few passages. Psalm 23 usually only gets read at funerals. That's a shame. But it tells us that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus says it in a similar kind of way in John chapter 6, verses 47 to 51. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. You, believer in Christ, will live with Christ forever. 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Son who does what only God may do, and who does what only God can do, has been made perfect forever. From this jumping off point, we are going to say, beginning in verse chapter 8, verse 1, now the point of what we are saying is this: we have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. We have that high priest. And I'll probably reference this more than once, but I like how Stephen Curtis Chapman puts it in one of his songs, "In this life, so sink or swim, I'm diving in." Lord, thank you for being who you are and for doing what only you had the responsibility to do, and only you had the ability to do, and you did that for sinners like me, who could then cast ourselves on you and find there forever your faithfulness and our forgiveness. Amen.